Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we come to your word, that it would be precious to us today. I pray that it might help us to be better children of the mothers that we have, and that we might honour them with all our heart and all our soul, Lord. Bless them and thank God for them. So, Lord, I pray that as we move through this message today, you'd make it a blessing, especially to the mothers, but to all of us, for we all have mothers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you before a little bit about Leslie Dickerson, but I'd like to recap just a little. The story is really important as far as mothers are concerned today. Leslie Dickerson had a devastating childhood. She felt unloved and unlovable as far back as she could remember. Her soul was dead. She didn't have any sense of worth. She felt empty and rejected. And these were the feelings that she experienced at the very deepest level of her soul. She suffered rejection by her parents as well. And their rejection was the picture of herself that she carried into her early adult days. In those days, she did alcohol and drugs. She was torn by rage, anxiety and depression, and she attempted suicide. Eventually, Leslie fell into the mental health system, but none of the treatments offered were able to help her at all. She was labelled as borderline personality disorder, mainly untreatable. One day she gave birth to a daughter, and suddenly she knew something had to change. If she did not change, that daughter was going to be taken from her. And so she started to search, and in her search, she found the Lord Jesus Christ. She committed her life to him, and her life was changed 180 degrees. After she met the Lord, she started to see her parents with new eyes. She saw them now as the best parents that they were capable of being. She has re-established a loving relationship with them. Although for many years she experienced her mother as, quote, a bad mother, the fact is she had a decent mother who tried the best she could. The Lord Jesus brought Leslie to such a feeling of acceptance that she finally relaxed and she could start to work in that relationship with her mother. She found her mother had more to offer, more than she ever imagined. And this led to healing of their relationship. Now, that's kind of an intriguing story to me, and I'd like to ask some questions about that situation, but that's all the magazine article gave me. It does establish one thing, however, that we may evaluate our parents and our mothers in particular as bad mothers, but perhaps those are just the misperceptions of youth, as it was for Leslie. Well, today is Mother's Day. And on this day, we pay special attention to our mums. I hope this happens all year, but today we pay special attention to our mums. We may not all be mothers, but we all have had mothers. Some may have lost their mums, and may God comfort you today. Some may not know who their mum is. Others have had bad, and David referenced this in his prayer, others may have had bad or at least difficult mothers. But we have all had mothers. Psalm 139 and verse 13 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Since we're all here, we've all had mothers. And one thing every single person on planet Earth has in common is that we've had a mother. I wonder if we've ever considered what the scripture says in regard to our relationship with our mothers, not just on Mother's Day, but throughout the year. And perhaps the best place to start is those verses where we've camped over the last 18 months or so in Ephesians chapter 6 and following. Chapter 6, verse 1 and following. In those verses is a summary of the two principal ways any person on planet Earth is to relate to their mother. And the first way that anyone should relate to their mother is obey her whilst you are a child. Now, there's some children here this morning, and I'm speaking to the children right now. Obey your mum whilst you are a child. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Kids, this is Mother's Day. I'll try and pick up the kids' eyes. They've all got their heads down. But kids, this is Mother's Day, and you're to obey Mother. You're to listen to her, and you're to follow her instructions. Do what she says. It's the right thing to do. Now, you might say, are there any exceptions? Are there sometimes when I don't have to obey Mum? Colossians 3 and verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. That means obey Mum in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That means when Mummy asks you to do something, you're going to say what? You're going to say, yes, Mummy. And you're going to do it immediately. And you're going to do it without excuse. And you're going to do it without complaint. You just do it. Obey Mummy. And God has put Mum there to be your mummy over you, that you might learn to obey her, so that eventually, children, you might learn to obey God. I'm just going to tell the children a little story today. Christy is a nice little girl in year two. And Christy loves horses. And she has along one wall of the bedroom posters of horses all over one wall. And there's a picture of a bed there if you've got a bulletin in front of you. There's a horse on her bedspread. And there's little pictures of horses behind her bed. And she loves horses. A little way down the road, there's a horse paddock. But Christy has never been able to get close to those horses. Mum has told her that it's not right to go and pat the horses without asking the owner first. And so she's not really got real close to them. But one day she was praying in the front yard, and she decided to wander down the street and see the horses for herself. Now, she knew that if she asked Mum, Mum would say, no, you can't go down to the horses. So was she obeying? Any of the children like to answer that today? Mum didn't actually say, no, you can't go down to the horses, but she knew Mum would say that. Was she obeying? No, I'm getting some no's there. That's good. She wasn't obeying. Well, she got down to the horses. She got up close to the fence, and she felt like running back home, but she didn't. She got even closer to the horses. What do you think happened next? Any of the children want to have a guess what might happen next? It's easier when you're all out here in the front and you can talk to me at the front, isn't it? But anyone want to have a guess? Well, it's okay. I don't know what happened next. I do know that Christy had disobeyed her mum. And I do know some bad things could happen to her, and they wouldn't happen if she had obeyed her mum. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You say, yes, mummy, and you do it. Now, we come moving toward the adults. The second way anyone should relate to their mothers is honour her always. Okay, as children, we're to obey and honour mum, but right throughout life, we are to honour her always. Ephesians 6 and verse 2 says, honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The word to honour God means to set a value upon, to treasure, to value. Of course, Paul is quoting an Old Testament verse here. And if we go back to that Old Testament verse, Exodus 20 and verse 12, we read, honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So the same words are there, and that word honour is used again. But this time, the English word honour is translating a Hebrew word, whereas in the New Testament, it's translating a Greek word. So different words are being used there. The Hebrew idea of honour is to be heavy, to be numerous, to be rich. And so it starts to approach pretty close to the Greek idea of valuable. What does it mean to honour mum or honour your parents in general? Well, I think it would include respect, fear, valuing. That's probably the central idea of honour, to value. Thankfulness, Love, service, care. Surely all of those things would be involved in honoring. And I'm going to show you from the scriptures that that is certainly so. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about some of those aspects of honoring mum. Number one, honoring mum means a respect of mum. A respect of mum. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3 says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God." That word revere means to fear or to frighten. But of course in this context it means revere or respect. Solomon, he was probably one of the greatest kings the earth has known. Solomon, even when he was king, showed respect for his mother. We read in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. "Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon, and the king rose up to meet her, and bowed down to her, and sat down on his throne, and had a throne set for the king's mother, so that she sat on his right hand." Well, he showed respect for his mother. Number two, honoring mum means valuing her. Valuing her. Along with respect, there's an appreciation, there's a value, and this, I emphasize, is the central idea of honoring, to value. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16 says, "A gracious woman retains honor." So that verse certainly makes it clear that some mothers earn a right to be honored by their mercy, their gracious attitude in life, their kindness. But even if a mother is a bad mother, she, perhaps like Leslie had, she deserves a certain value in our lives just because she is mother. So in valuing mum, there are some things we should do, there's some things that we shouldn't do. Let's just go through some of those. If you value her, you're going to give her every reason to be pleased with you. Proverbs 23 and verse 25 says, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." It's a heartache for any mother to see her child going the wrong way, doing wrong things. Give reason for your mother to rejoice in your life. If you value mum, you won't treat her with contempt, obviously. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16 tells us about that. "Cursed is the one who treats his mother and father with contempt, and all the people shall say amen." Contempt was something that was all but punishable by death. We will not show contempt for mother. If you value your mum, you'll certainly not despise her. Proverbs 23 and verse 22, "Do not despise your mother when she's old." Well, we'd certainly say don't despise your mother any time, but perhaps when she's old and quaint in her ways, there might be a tendency to despise mum at that time. But we are not to despise mum, even when she is old. And the last two go without saying. If you value your mum, you won't curse her. Proverbs 20 and 20 says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." And if you value your mum, you won't hit her. I hope no one's done that. And he who strikes father or mother will be surely put to death. So, what we've been saying in these verses, what I want you to hear coming through these verses is mum is to be respected and mum is to be valued like a treasure. Number three, honoring mum means giving thanks for her. Of course, a mother who has done a great job is going to be thanked by her children. Proverbs 31 and verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." That is the woman far above rubies. But all mums need to be thanked. She's done something right, surely, hasn't she? Proverbs 30 and verse 11. "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." It's considered a crime by the scriptures not to bless your mother. And that's the sign of a wicked man or woman who will not bless their mother. And if we see that as a tendency across a population, that would be called a wicked generation, who will not bless their mother. Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Of course, that was talking about a Christian church, but as we think of mum, that verse might be a good verse to remember. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Number 4, honoring mum means looking after her, caring for her. You see, in the scripture, the word honor, honoring someone, often refers to financially supporting. Have you ever noticed that? To financially support something. Let me give you some examples of that. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. That's what we've just done here. We've put money in bags. We've honored the Lord. We've supported the Lord's work by giving unto the Lord this morning. That's honoring the Lord with our possessions. And when Paul was talking about financial support of widows, he used that word honor again. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3, honor widows who are really widows. He meant support them financially. So honoring has this idea of support, care, help. Maybe mothers today mightn't need so much financial support as in past ages, but there's got to be that care. The scriptures consider it a crime not to do so. Proverbs 28 and verse 24. Whoever robs his father or mother and says, it is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. And perhaps most pointedly, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 15 and verse 4, for God commanded saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his mother or father, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God. So this is the situation where someone loves God, they're wanting to serve God, and they say, all these possessions that I have, I now give as a gift for God, and therefore I have nothing left to give to mum or dad. I have nothing left to support them. And this is what Jesus says about that situation. He says, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift of God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, hypocrites. So what Jesus is saying is, there is no excuse not to care for mum. Number 5, honoring mum means loving her and serving her. Now, I think love has been implied by all these words that we've looked at, respecting, valuing, thanking God for her. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there are the characteristics of love that are given. Of course, it's given in the context of a local church. We're to love each other in this way. But this is the characteristics of love. And if we're going to love mum, these characteristics ought to be applied to her. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, as David did earlier. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. So I'd just like to pick out some key phrases in that passage of Scripture and see how they apply to our love for mum. Love is going to be patient with mum. Love is going to be kind to her. Love won't be rude to her. And love will seek mum's good. Let's park on that one a little bit. Love will seek mum's good. What the verse says is, love does not seek its own. Love is not looking to get. Love is seeking to give, to serve, to do good for the other person. Love is selfless. And when applied to mum, it means I'm going to serve her. I'm going to seek her well-being. I guess this is particularly when mum has begun to age. Some mums haven't been that easy to work with, like Leslie's mum, and they may frustrate or hurt you. But love, these scriptures say, is not easily provoked or not provoked at all. Love for mum will never fail. Of course, if you as an adult have had a difficult mother through life. These things may be very hard for you to do, but the scripture requires them. Living this in dependence on God will make you, will shape you, will throw your independence back upon the Savior. And as you seek to live these things out, He will enable you and it will make you like Him. Honoring Mum is non-negotiable. On the other hand, some mothers who have honestly tried hard with their children have been treated very badly by their children. That's tragic to think about on Mother's Day. A Christian journalist writes, a postcard arrived in the mail, and then another, and then another. None of the postcards were signed, but it appeared that they had all been written by the same person, an elderly mother who had given it all for her son, but was getting only cruel abuse in return. She wrote, will you please print some articles on how Christian people should treat their elderly parents and widows? I've been physically and verbally abused by a son who professes to be a Christian. Well, very sad on a day like today, but especially today, we want to be honouring mums. We want to be doing that throughout the years, those ones that have nursed our pains and cheered our gains. This is a time to honour mum. But don't stop with just one day a year. If you're living at home, give her daily encouragement. Help her. If you've left the family home, make phone calls and visits. Express your love and appreciation. It's your turn now to meet mother's needs. Okay, as I consider the scriptures that we've looked at this morning, two questions come to my mind. Perhaps more questions have come to your mind, but two came to my mind. Question one, when does obeying end? We spoke to the children first and we said, obey mum. It's clear that children are to obey. And as adults now, when does this obeying end? Question two, what does honouring look like through the various stages of life? We've had the general descriptions, but how do we apply this at different times? Okay, in answering those two questions, I'm going to draw on one further scripture plus all the scriptures that we've looked at already. Question one, when does obeying end? Now, in pre-fall perfection, the woman was delighted in the man, and the man was delighted in the woman. So Genesis 2 and verse 24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There was nothing between them. They were totally transparent, as it were, with each other. And that was all good as far as their relationship was concerned. Verse 24 says again, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Though Adam's only father was God himself, and though Eve was taken from Adam's body, so neither of them had parents as such, we read that they left father and mother and were joined. So this is a pattern for us that is established. When a man and woman unite in marriage, that is as much a new authority structure as when Adam and Eve, who had no physical parents at all. That is a new beginning. But how many marital problems are caused because some parent will not let go of a son or daughter? There is to be a leaving of the previous structure, and there is to be a cleaving to the wife, and that there is a new authority structure, just like Adam and Eve under a God. Well, certainly and absolutely at the point of marriage, a son or daughter no longer has to obey their mum. When does obeying end? Well, at marriage. Is there any other time? Well, I think so. In our society, children are staying longer and longer in the home for whatever reason. Should a man of 25 still be obeying mum like when he was a child? Some wisdom, please. Some parents don't understand that the whole goal of parenting is to produce a son or daughter that is of themselves responsible before God, morally responsible. They will earn a crust for themselves independently, a godly young man or woman. So that means that in parenting, the control of the child should be most in the toddler years. There are strict controls. You do this, do that, put on this jumper, take that off. There are strict controls during the toddler years. And then as responsibility is shown by the child, freedoms are relaxed out more and more until there is an independence in adulthood. But parents who will not smack their toddlers tend to have rebellious teens. And so that as time goes by and they see problems cropping up, they tend to draw in the controls. And so they become more and more, tend to more and more controlling as time goes by. That is exactly the opposite of good parenting, where freedoms are given as time goes by. So if there is an adult child in the home, he or she will be expected, of course, to show respect, value their mum, be thankful for mum, serve and care for her, but not obey like during childhood and earlier teenage years. If they will not show respect, give thanks, serve and care, I think it's time for that child to leave the home and to learn responsibility for themselves. Parents should not expect the obedience of a child in an adult. They should, however, expect to be honoured, of course, valued, respected. That is my opinion based on the flow of Scripture and what Scripture says about parenting. Please consider. Question number two, what does honouring look like through the stages of life? I've already discussed the adult child in the home. What about the adult child outside the home? How does that look in honouring mum? I would see two main stages. Number one, whilst the parents, and we're thinking of mum in particular today, whilst the parents are independent, that's stage one. They can totally look after themselves. And stage two would be the stage of increasing dependence. They start needing more and more help from their adult children. Until that time, they become totally dependent. So first, let me reiterate the aspects of honouring mum. We said number one was respecting her. Number two, valuing her. Number three, giving thanks for her. Number four, caring for her. Number five, loving and serving her. In the independent stage for mum, I would think honouring would, at different times, cover all those different five aspects of honouring mum, but especially the first three, respecting and valuing and giving thanks for her. At this stage, mum and dad don't need much help. In fact, as grandparents, they might be giving a lot of help to the young couple. Respecting, valuing and giving thanks would certainly include being welcome to family occasions. It would include phone calls. It would include visits. It would include cards and gifts on special occasions like Mother's Day. In the stage of increasing dependence, caring and serving, number four and five in our list, would increasingly come to the fore. For example, there came a stage when my parents were both of them still living at home, but Dad wasn't able to get Mum about like previously, and so we had to step in and help her with shopping and other things. And since that time, Mum has increasingly needed our help for doctors' appointments and for shopping and other business. There will come a time for us and for you when honouring Mum means that she will require more care and perhaps live in the same home, giving all the help that she needs. There are some situations where honouring mum may mean she cannot be cared for at home anymore. Honouring mum in that case might mean paying someone else to be able to help. Now, just some examples of that, three that I thought of, there may be many more. Number one, where mum is too heavy to lift. That might be a situation where you just can't look after her at home anymore. Number two, where mum has dementia and it would be dangerous for everyone to be out of the home on those occasions. And that might be a case where you might need extra care. Or where continence is involved. To maintain mum's dignity, it may be better that mum is looked after by someone else. And this is going to differ with families, but there are just possibilities there. Some of you will be extremely challenged by the scripture that I've read to you today. in that command to honour mum. But every stage there should be a respect, a value, a giving thanks for, and a caring for mum. Now, may the mums here that are here with us today be honoured by their families. God give us all strength to do this right. And I'd like to dedicate this message to my mum and asking God to help me to be a better son to her. What about you? Let me end with the prayer of an elderly mum. It's kind of a poem, it's kind of a prayer. It says, "My children are coming today. They mean well, but they worry. They think I shouldn't live alone. Lord, help me to be grateful for their concern and help them to understand that I have to do what I can do for as long as I can. They're right when they say there are risks. I might fall. I might leave the stove on. But there is no challenge, no possibility of triumph, no real aliveness without risk. When they were young and climbed trees and rode bicycles and went away to camp, I was terrified. But I let them go because to hold them would hurt them. Now our roles are reversed. Help them to see. Lord, help them to see. Lord, keep me from being grim or stubborn about it, but don't let them smother me." Let's pray. Precious Father, we love our mums. We thank you for what they have done for us. Lord, we see past any deficiencies and we just see their love for us. We're grateful for that. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be able to obey the scriptures, whatever our mums have been to us. And I'm sure most of our mums here have been good mums. So, Lord, we thank you for them. Help us to honour them in every way and know how to do that in the different stages of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.